Good
Good
morning and welcome once again.
morning.
Yes, welcome to our Sunrise Project weekly call, where it's always a safe space with incredible people looking to find solace and peace as we learn from one another and we grow and start to heal ourselves and our children and our families. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I took a deep breath because it's been quite a month, and I'm so happy to have Dr. Linda McGee back with us this morning. She is our resident expert that has been with us since the very, very, very beginning, 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, which is amazing how time has flown by. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Linda for those of you who may be new with us today. She is a clinical psychologist, attorney, and nationally recognized mental health expert and speaker. She's been featured everywhere, Washington Post, New York Times, Huffington Post, Forbes, on and on and on. BET tapped her for a big mental health special that they did last year. And she is an adjunct professor at George Washington University and the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She currently serves as a former president of the Maryland Psychological Association, and she is an incredible leader and therapist and friend to so many of us. So I am thrilled to have Dr. Linda McGee back this morning for what we call an open session, where we are here in an open space for people to share, get whatever's off your chest that you might want to talk about, and for us to listen and provide some guidance or some wisdom or just conversation. So, Dr. McGee, happy to have you back. It's so good to see you. Thank you for
Thank
being here.
you. Thank you. I just want to correct that one little thing in my
Yes,
resume. Now I'm
please.
a visiting faculty at George Washington University. So I'm doing a little bit more
Congratulations.
teaching now. And I love it. So I'm still have a private practice, but I am kind of doing a little bit of transition.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you. Thank
amazing.
you.
That's new news. Okay, wonderful. Well, let's open up by talking about where we are. So, January flew by and it was a huge year. With a lot of change. And here we are at the beginning of February, which is, of course, as we know, Black History Month, and many of us focus on love. And so, as we lean into February, can you share thoughts on how we can exhale, I guess, or what we should be doing, given all the change and the turmoil and even the recent plane crash tragedy that happened in January.
I wish I had a lot of magic words for you. And for many of us, January seemed like it was like 10,000 days long. And in many ways, I don't want to bring us down today, but I want to say it's deliberate. We're in the middle of not just things that are happening against African American communities. We're in mental and spiritual warfare, where the goal is to demoralize. The goal is to destabilize. And I have to say those words out loud because we need to accept that that's happening. And sure, you can't combat everything by breathing deeply, but we are going to continue on our theme today of how can we mentally, physically, and spiritually care for ourselves so that we make it through the marathon that is America right now. And I want to say that the verse that has been, someone asked me to write something about Ketanji Brown Jackson. And what came to my head, they're doing a tribute to her in one of the news media. And what came to my head was Ephesians, right? Do all you can and then stand, right? So we have to put on our armor We have to take care of ourselves, do all that we can do for ourselves, and know that we're going to stand firm once we do that. So, I mean, that's a little bit less psychological, Kelly, than you're used to hearing from me. But I just want to put that out there. We got to stand. We got to stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. We got to stand with each other. We have to support our businesses. We have to get our affairs in order in terms of our finances, our physical health, and our mental health. But this is standing time, y'all. And to stand, we need to be taking care of ourselves. And I want to open the floor before I say anything else. But that is just what came to me this morning when I'm getting all these calls from people that are very destabilized and their children are very destabilized right now.
Somebody's Alicia Johnson a few weeks ago, who was our guest, talked about, and you shared this, spiritual, mental, and physical well-being, and she was very deliberate about saying that's the spiritual first and then mental and then physical. And I thought that was interesting that you shared that. And I think it's very it's a paradigm shift for some of us maybe that haven't always said spirit first. I'll speak for myself, but spiritual first I think is really helpful.
It's
The
at
other
the
thing that
center.
she yeah,
It's at the
absolutely.
center.
And she also talked about taking off the mask and looking for the pillow and the blanket and making sure that we have rest. We hydrate, rest, pause, and breathe, and then find the blanket and the pillow and take off the mask. I thought that was also really telling because we have to rest and reset before we can stand, and take action.
We have to stop talking self-care and start practicing it being a part of our everyday life. We have to do it. And for those of you out there who are struggling with it, I'm going to be honest with you. So am I right now. But it is imperative. So if you have a week where you go backward and you're on social media doom scrolling 24/7, start today. Today is a different day. After we get done at 10, I'm going to challenge you all to put away your phones for today. You know, yes, Doncic was traded to the Lakers. You already know that, right? Right? We already know the big news. Okay. We already know you don't have to watch a train wreck to know it's wrecking. And I just want to like implore and ask and have you to just think about what all of that news is doing to your spirit. And to look at, to take your spirit first, as Kelly said, and the prior guest said, and to think about what you're consuming and what you're putting in your spirit every hour of every day. And what are you putting in there? Put it in the chat. What are you putting? What are you consuming into your spirit every day?
Can I just say, I think there's such a fine line because I was one of those people that stopped watching TV altogether, just didn't turn it on, or would just turn it straight to Netflix and watch mindless TV or, other mindless things. And I
HGTV.
didn't, yeah. But really just streaming, random streaming the shows. And I did not even know about the plane crash. And the reason I mentioned that is because it was a moment where I was on a big Zoom with a bunch of people and presenting. And had I known about the plane crash that had happened the night before, I absolutely would have opened the meeting differently. But I opened with a big smile and my normal, joy. And this is the intention for today, and I was thinking that was so insensitive when I found out about it that night. But I didn't find out about it from TV or news, and I've cut off all my notifications on my phone for news. So I'm just sharing that to say there's got to be a fine line, and
And
of knowing what's happening.
I want to talk about that though. How many people that are listening can't just check the headlines, right? How many people, once you get on there and be honest with yourself, the checking becomes an 1 hour or 2 hour or constant checking throughout the day. And so when we talk about, yes, there are certain things that you probably need to be informed of, I want to put it into context of, but does that lead to you mindlessly doom scrolling day in and day out? Come on, y'all, be honest. Somebody talk.
I'll
Tell
go
me what's
first,
on your
Dr.
heart.
Linda. So I don't think I doom scroll. Like I'm not one of those people that do like the reality show type scrolling, like let's see what this person is doing, that person is doing. But because of the line of work I'm in the multiple areas, me looking just at the title isn't enough because that's a marketing strategy. It's a person's perspective in or a company in the title that they put in. So, it's a narrative attached to it. So it's important to read. And I'm a reader, to make my own decisions on a topic. So I do. I read a lot. I don't watch the news, on TV, but I do get it from my phone. So for me, kind of like Kelly, I think it's important to stay tapped in, even if you're not consumed with it, to at least be knowledgeable enough about it to engage in a conversation that doesn't make you seem, not that you're minimizing things or that you're gaslighting, like when you're
Right.
on a speaker.
And I agree with that you should know the main events. I'm not
Or even
disagreeing
the
with that point.
context surrounding it, because if you
Right,
think about the
right. And the
plane
things,
situation,
right.
if you were just to look at it like, oh, this, a plane crash, when you think about like 9/11, some people thought it was, they framed it as another terrorist attack, and the more you listen to it, you realize, regardless of what they want you to think, it could have been eliminated, that situation. There's something that could have been done. So, because I work in the advocacy space, we always look for ways to make change. So, the perspective that I look at it from may be different from someone, like I read this morning, someone was like, why do we have to politicize everything?
Why
But
do we
we
have to what? Oh.
politicize everything.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
why can't
I
we
heard
just,
you.
yeah. And so, from some people's perspective, they're like, it's just an accident. This has nothing to do with the president. This doesn't have anything to do with the government. This is, which is why I think it's just important to read. And then once you get what you need,
I
you.
absolutely agree with both you and Kelly. But what I think my point is that we also have to look at people not guarding their mental health and who are really feeling quite anxious because they are consuming so much online media. And that was really my point. I absolutely agree with you. You should know what's going on. I mean, that's a thing that you should do for your own family, for your own personal safety. But I think that on the chat line, someone was indicating that they have to keep abreast of the news because of what they do for a living, right? And I do think, and I do think, unless one of the chat people are saying, and what Dia says, that the headlines can be misleading. And we know because of misinformation that there's an approach that people take to reporting what's going on in order to protect themselves. So, yes, sometimes you have to go and do what D and I both do, which is to go read something in depth by sources that we trust. But again, I am right. Headline review can be misleading. So one thing that has come up in the chat that I want to address is that the feeling of frustration, powerlessness, feeling targeted, and that we don't have a unified plan. And so I'd like to toss that out there to Dee, Kelly, and anyone who wants to speak on this feeling of helplessness and powerlessness that we all are feeling to a certain degree, I presume, because of the messages that are being put out about us, the legislation and the executive orders that are being targeted to us. It's not paranoia, it's actually happening, right? But the key is, what do you do? Someone wrote, I'm going to go back to that in a minute, but I just want to address this other comment about the news and the headlines, that Sybil Wilkes does a thing where things you need to know in a daily email. That's one person's way of handling the flow of information. Kelly, I have some things that I want to say about the feelings of helplessness, but I wanted to see what your take was.
I don't have a feeling of helplessness. I feel like God has planned all of this already, and I don't understand where we are necessarily, but there's a plan and he's in charge. So I really have surrendered that way to say, there's a plan. We're gonna get through this. God is in charge. And so I don't feel helpless. I feel disgusted sometimes when I, hear people's voices or I hear comments. There's a level of disgust, but I don't feel helpless because I feel like in every part of all of our lives, we have an opportunity to make a difference or make an impact in someone's life, whether it's even on this call. Every week, I hear something that helps me with my day. Someone said, be human and be happy. Like choosing to be human and choosing to be happy is a paradigm shift and it's a choice. And choosing to let our children live their lives, even when they make
Right.
decisions that we absolutely disagree with, but choosing to surrender and say, I'm letting them live their lives, they're grown, is really difficult. But it's a way to not feel helpless because now I know that there's a higher power moving in my life and ordering my steps. And the challenge I've had up until being in my 50s was I didn't listen.
Right.
And so now I'm listening and I don't feel helpless. I feel the need to say no. I think Tracy said it a few weeks ago, saying no, I think she said it was an opportunity for somebody else's yes. And there's so much power in that statement. And I love, I think it was Tracy Barry McGee who made that comment. No, my no is an opportunity for someone else's yes. It's like, oh
Right.
my
When we
gosh.
talk
So if
about
I
that,
can't do that, and maybe I'm
right.
not going to take that project on, but that means somebody else can take it on, and that's a big win for them
Right.
potentially. So I'm not helpless. I feel like we have an opportunity and an obligation to stand, which is what you started off with this morning.
Well, I think again, the intent is to make you feel powerless, to make you feel demoralized, and to give up. But as Dee says in the chat, we have more power than we think we have. We have the power of protests. We have the power of what we do in response to what is happening. We have a power to circle the wagons in our communities. We have the power to go out despite the fact that things are very tight, to be kind and compassionate to whom we run across in the day. I was a part of a group where the person did a sermon about what's our obligation in the face of this evil. And the response was, is that you can respond to evil, but you shouldn't become evil, right? And so I'm just leaving that out there. And all of the liberation psychology that I am fully a part of says that a part of us dealing with racial trauma is to deal with coping mechanisms that I talked to you all about, limiting your social media. But it also has to do with fight seeking justice, helping when you can in your communities, thinking about ways that we can group together with common goals. And that's what I see a lot on the social media now, is people figuring out both on social media and in secret, because social media is a whole nother situation right now, to group together to come up with solutions. Right. And so someone in the chat is talking freely about how this is has an historical arc, and how we're having reactions to things as far back as the Civil Rights Act. And I think that they're correct in that. But I don't think we're powerless. I think that that we have to fortify ourselves, though, so that we don't feel powerless. So there are two hands up that I can see. Dee, why don't you go first, and then whomever else has their hand up can go.
I just wanted to piggyback on the comment about things that you can do. Not everybody is going to be on the front lines per se, and fight policy changes and the administration. But before the call started, we were talking about how long the lines were at Costco. Those are ways that we like we have as a community incredible spending power in what
I read it. I read
people
that
do.
it's very high in the African
I mean,
American community.
but it's always been that way. But and then we use our dollars to support the very people that we feel either disenfranchised by, or that we feel that we have no power against. So there are just very small ways that collectively turn into huge impact that we can do without having to voice an opinion. Just shopping at a different store gives a statement. Eating at a different restaurant gives a statement. And collectively, we do have a huge impact. So I just wanted to say that there are just different ways. And then that does protect your peace. Like, at least for me, not eating, like, I mean, and I started this years ago, not eating at certain restaurants. I mean, that does protect my peace, because you find that you're not as upset when you go there. You're like, I'm spending all this money and this person XYZ 123. Well, I'm just not spending my money there, so I'm
And where
protecting.
when you know you're not welcome,
Well,
right?
absolutely. So it's like that actually adds to your stress, in my opinion. When you're spending your hard-earned money and you go someplace that you're not welcome, like, we just have to make different decisions for ourselves. And I read a quote last week that says, "What are you willing to go without in order to get what you need?" And it says that the sacrifice has to first be on our side. So we're going to be inconvenienced in some area, but we have to make our own sacrifices, whatever that is, in order to bring that level of peace and security. And it's different for all of us, but I thought that was, very. So when you
Now,
think of like the bus boycotts, like, they had to walk to work, and it would have been more convenient to get on the bus. But to prove a point, they had to give up the convenience of riding the bus in order to prove the point. So they walked. So, there are things we can do. It just may not be fun or easy.
And D, and I wanted to just say that that was where I was going when I talked about the sermon, is like, what can we do on a day-to-day basis? And one of the things that, I mean, even though I put in the chat $1.6 trillion, someone else put in $1.8 to $1.9 trillion of African American spending power, one of the things that I have been doing is really thinking about consuming less, period. And to get more to think about finance, getting financial houses in order, But definitely spending where you're welcome. There's a place that, Kelly knows that I'm heavily into Pilates. There's a place that sells yoga and Pilates equipment that basically said they don't really gear their products toward Black people. So why would I go in there and spend money? And I just, every time I walk by the store in Bethesda, if I see a Black person, it just makes me cringe. But to understand and to be aware of, and someone just said, let's start saving and investing to improve our economic status. Invest in Costco. That my friend called me yesterday and said, how much is Costco stock? Right? I absolutely agree with you. There's a man that's online now, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but I'll see if I can find it, who's urging people to invest and become farmers. He's a Black man who's helping Black people find land to grow their own things, both for themselves and for others. So there are so many little things that we can do. Dee is absolutely right. All of us are not going to be leading marches. All of us are not going to be in the legislature, but we can decide that we're going to take care of ourselves. We're going to get rest, hydration. We're going to take care of our kids and our communities. We're going to get the therapy if we need it or join groups as to when we need support. There are so many things that we can do economically, spiritually, and physically that can help us sort of withstand this and to not even to come at it from a more positive perspective, because I've seen some positive things that have happened in the African American community and in this election cycle. We're talking about things that we have never talked about to this depth. We're talking about the relationship with Black men and Black women and what it is to be a man and, how Black women should, be in the world. So in my opinion, that we need to keep having those discussions. Someone else has their hand up, please.
It's me, it's Taj. So the one thing I've been doing is you I was talking about the whole media thing, because like D and quite a few of us, advocacy is what I do. But however, the one thing I want to stress is balance, because there's a lot going on in the world, but there's a lot going on in people's households. So you have to find balance in how much you can take in, because those things will be impactful to your health. And so it hurts my heart when I see people, our people say that they feel powerless, they, and frustrated. One, I think this is a great space for you to not have to, you kind of release some of that frustration and find tools, as has been suggested, of how to balance that. But I'm a headliner these days. I'm normally not a headliner because I want to, understand, but I only those headlines that kind of intrigue me that I need to read a little bit deeper, because of advocacy. I want to see if it's something that affects, the area that I focus on, is maybe I can be someone to bring awareness to the community that I serve. But this is really a time where we have to use our voice. We live in a society where it says, see something, say something. I just think it's even more important is to see me, hear me. But we have to be brave enough to say what we need to be said in order people to see and support you, or in the areas that you need support in. So I think it's brave to say that you feel that way, because most times, and especially in the rooms that I've been blessed to sit in, your answer and your support and your tool is in the room. So I think it's critical to find balance. And if you get to the level of frustration, put yourself in the room to allow you to get to a more healthier space, because you have to function first for yourself and your family. And then the community will come when you can. But when you can't, just if you don't have the capacity, it's time to say no. And focus on, Tracy, focus on your cup. Sometimes we're giving away our liquid in our cup that's just for us, and we haven't even got to the overflow part. So I just want to constantly remind people, because we are nurturers as women, and we want to keep helping, helping, helping. And sometimes everybody is not your assignment.
Ooh. All right, now, everybody is not your assignment. We say this so many times, and I know not just myself, but so many guests have said, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Right. I am having to be more selective this year about what I commit to. I had someone who I taught in the past and we co-teach together. He said to me, we teach diversity. So teaching diversity, and I just started a podcast called The Multicultural Psychologist. So I am heavily embedded in the work that's being criticized. He told me I can't teach this semester. It's too much. And I was incredibly proud of him because he knew that he couldn't take that material. The things that we read in that course are deep. And so we do need to seek balance. You might have a week where you can get out more, you can advocate more, you can take in more. And you might have weeks where you're just like, Kelly alluded to it earlier. I'm gonna stay in my house. I'm gonna take care of myself. I'm gonna make vegetable soup. And I fully urge the whole point of this show today, I fully urge you to do what you need to do in order to survive and for us to find ways that you can thrive. But now, huh? Helping everyone and in a way that collapses you is really not a constructive way to deal with issues. So I know everybody is not your assignment. I just want to go back to that point. And another point that I wanted to make is that find moments of joy. Go on that trip. Put that down. Buy those plane tickets. Find small moments where you're sitting with your family and you're with your friends and people that love you. I am going to a conference this week, or it's basically all African American therapists, because when I go to those conferences, I get fed. We dance, we sing, we do poetry, we have parties at night with DJs. I get fed there. I'm in rooms, I'm in other rooms, and I don't get fed in those rooms. I have to fight in those rooms. And so it's important for you all to find rooms that are feeding you. Find spaces and people that support you and love you and are boosting you. We need each other now more than ever. Check on your friends, the ones who take everything to heart. Yes, I will share the name of the conference in the chat. Okay, anybody else? Find your tribe. Thank you, Tracy. But don't let them steal your
I have a
joy.
question.
I'm gonna sound like a minister today. Don't let them steal your joy. Go ahead, Kelly.
I think I was alluding to this earlier, and even before the call, I mentioned something to you. As it pertains to dealing with our children, what are some ways or some prompts or some conversations we can have to help them at the same
Who's
time?
that? Say again.
Our children, grown children,
Oh,
teenage
yes.
children, they're seeing things and hearing things. So that's part one. And the second part of the question is back to, trying to let them live their lives, but you see them going down a really bad track. How do we continue to do that versus inserting ourselves? And when do we insert ourselves? It's a two-part question. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Absolutely. I was just thinking. One is I hear people saying, well, I don't want my child to focus on that. I think that that's that we should like not, I think we should tell our kids the truth to the extent that they can hear it. Like these things are going on. And they're talking about them in their college campuses and in their high schools. I think that you should encourage them to talk about it. I think as someone said in the chat, they may need some refreshers and some thoughts about our history, right? And this is a good month to help them. Happy Black History Month. They can't take it from us. This is our history, babe. To talk a little bit about our ancestors and to talk about the things that they have come through. But also, I think that we need to talk to them about taking care of themselves because I feel like that a lot of the younger people, and in particular boys, sometimes just internalize the stress. They don't talk about it, they don't have outlets. But to encourage them in whatever way they talk, they may not talk to you, they may talk to the people in their basketball league, but it help them be in groups. Where they can talk. Also, someone talked about what are some of the practical implications about what's going on right now and how stop and frisk may be become more an issue. And I'm worrying because I have a child and I know a lot of you do that are either job seeking or looking for jobs about where they go, right? The geographic sort of divide in the country. And so talking to them about being aware that if they visit certain parts of the country or even in parts of the country that are more progressive, that we may see more police harshness, for lack of a better word, or even brutality, if I'm going to call it what it is. But I think the way is to talk to them. Now, we already are dealing, a lot of us are dealing with children who are have either substance abuse or mental health issues or just having problems individuating and separating and becoming independent adults. And from my experience in the field this last couple of months, the things that are going on in this country are further destabilizing adults. Would be adults and children. And I got more calls this year than ever from parents of children whose kids came home from school basically saying that they're not going back, that they failed out but kept it a secret, that they have problems with substances, that they need severe, they need mental health care. So this is real and this is happening. And also, we need to try to seek to get help for those kids. Sometimes Kelly's second point I want to address briefly, and then I want to go back to the floor for questions. This kind of stress often brings on bad decisions, impulsive decisions to try to ease the pain, to try to ease the stress. When you are anxious or when you are impulsive, a lot of times people just try to relieve it and they make bad decisions. And so those of you who are on the phone who have children who are anxious, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because they'll cheat on that test. They will smoke with people that they're not familiar with. And by the way, I'm just going to put this out here. We've seen more casualties and in overdoses from people getting weed that is laced with fentanyl. So I want you all to think about talking to your children about where they're getting and what they're getting when they buy weed from unknown sources. Tracy, you have something?
Good morning, everyone. When Kelly mentioned about what are we doing with our children, specifically our adult children, I have two daughters and a son, and one of my daughters, she tends to like just close herself off from everyone, so we don't get to lay eyes on her as often as I would like. She works from home. She dealt ex with anxiety coming out of the pandemic, but my son is the he's he was the athlete. He's more, I want to say more cocky than confident. He's one of those kids that will go a lot of places by himself. In Missouri or St. Louis specifically, I mean, we have all these dispensaries, so they all use vapes and marijuana, and we want them to be around us. So there are times where he may roll up and his car is rigid, just, reeking from marijuana, but they figure out that that's their way to balance. But and I don't like it. Most recently, he just bought this sports car because he has a pretty good job. And I say all this to say that when I tell him different things or try to give him the advice, the first thing he goes to is, "Well, Mom, you say that you pray for me and I pray. So like it's I'm covered," or "Don't put those things in the universe." And so those things worry me. So what I have requested is, you know how back when we looked at soul food and it was so good for everybody to come to Big Mama's house, I'm like, we can't do that. And we're in groups, and sometimes I send him reels, and I'll send him some reels that he can relate to, but they get tired of me sending them reels. So I've requested that at least once a week, maybe like a Sunday. And I just recently requested this. I'm asking them, we're going to either do this one Sunday out of the month or, every other week. Like, can we all hop on a live, like a Zoom, like what we're doing, a family one, so we all can see each other in our spaces? They're used to doing this, when they're FaceTiming each other. But I'm telling them, I need to lay eyes on you. I mean, I was sick, and they know I don't typically like people to come over when I'm sick. But I told them, I need you. I need you to help me with packing. I need you to help me with food. I need you to help me. I need you. And I think that when you tell them that you need them, because I'm not going to stop my life work, but it puts them in a different perspective. And so I'm like, and what can you do with your budget? So having those FaceTime conversations where we all lay eyes on each other, we can hold each other a little bit more accountable.
I mean, and you're doing what moms do, right? You're finding a way. You know that maybe direct on giving advice is not working anymore. But you stay at it. You stay in their presence. You keep them close. So when issues come up, you can help. You're going around over the block that they're putting up by you when you talk to them directly about it. You're going through indirection. And those are just things that you do with your children, even when they're adults. You can't always tell them, but sometimes you can show them. Sometimes you can be there. And sometimes there is going to be a day when they ask you, right?
But Linda,
But you
common
just.
sense for a lot of our kids, I'm not saying this in a negative way, but common sense ain't common. And my son likes to learn from his own mistakes. He'll come back and say, "You're right," but he's got to get it on his own. And that's frightening, but also it's the reality of the world that I live in, that I just have to continue to pray that he is covered.
Yes, I mean, it is very, it's very fearful. It creates a lot of maternal fear when you have a male child who wants to test. And wants to be proven wrong in this world. And it's really tough to know how to handle that. But in the final analysis, if that's how he does things, you do need to pray for protection. We all need to pray for protection. But like I said, again, being there, having that Zoom call, having that come over for dinner, having that open door, it at least gives you hope. That when he's close, that maybe one time he'll listen, or maybe one time he'll take it in and fuss with you, but he'll go away and make another choice. So keep at it, Mom. That's what we do, right? You talk about the immaturity, all the data says that 25 is the beginning of maturity in terms of brain maturity
The other
and the
thing.
decision centers. And also they don't, because they grew up in a technologically advanced world, they don't know how to do a lot of things that are not technologically advanced. So I get kids asking me about how to write checks, how to do all kinds of things that we knew a long time ago. So also keep that in mind.
Real quick, the other thing that I try to do is I get in the ear of people that he will listen to. He's so charming that people think he has it all together. So I'll make sure that either my husband gives him a message or the barber gives him a message or whoever
Right.
he likes to buy his cards from, they tap in and give him a message. And he
For
doesn't
me, it
know
was
that.
coaches.
Yes, that part.
Coaches. Yeah, they listen to people and go to who they and just you don't have to just say, look, this is what's going on. Please don't say that I said it, but this is what's going on. And let the person bring it up to them. I ask parents sometimes that I have permission to speak to who have a young adult children. Just send me a note and let me know what's going on, right? Every now and again, if it's something big, I might not bring it up in session, but at least I know that it happened. And that's in cases where I have permission to talk to parents. There's someone else with their hand up, PC.
Yes, thank you. I posted about having my college freshman and senior talk to their grandparents specifically about what life was like at that time. It was helpful to them. It was not about, the brutality and the all of that. It was about how they approached their day-to-day lives at that time, their hopes, their dreams, how they made a way, what their communities were like, how close they were, what their schools were like. Those types of things. And they got to see and understand more about the love and the community, more so than what, our society has shown them about, that time. And it did make a big difference with them. And I wanted to just make sure everybody knew it was from that vein. And beyond that, I am spending my time looking deeply into crypto and having an understanding of what this new world really looks like, what it means, why we want Greenland, we want it for the metals, those types of things, to understand what is happening and happening so quickly. And I encourage others to look into those things as well. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. In the comments, I need proof of life at least 3 days for my children, right? You want to hear from them. What else? Anyone have something else that's on their mind? And I didn't want to discourage people from talking about the pain of all of this. Right. We talked about it earlier, the feeling of helplessness, but I want to directly speak to the fact that this is painful. We fought so hard for a lot of these things, and it's very painful to have them be under attack.
I just to add to that, I do have one daughter who is particularly very concerned about what happens in the world. She's, very pro-Palestine, etc. She actually lives in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands right now, and she sent me a note and FaceTimed me regarding the Palestinian, the government going after Palestinian protesters. And, so to your point, I also tried to share with her my view, and not that it's all going to be okay, that yes, this is disturbing. Yes, you're exactly right. However, I feel the same way you do, but that you can't let this consume you. And you have to kind of live your life and do what you can do. But to the point we've all been saying, you can't like look at the news all day long. You've got to kind of focus on what you can do. I said, you're not even technically in the continental US, so use that as to an advantage for you. Don't pay attention.
Right.
I'm like,
Right.
go
When you
do
see
what you can do.
you stop me at St. Thomas.
But it is true. And I tell her, you know, how I'm feeling as well. And yes, it is. It's disappointing, it's frustrating, but you know, it is what it is, and we will work through this, but to not
Right.
kind of sugarcoat it and say everything is going to be okay.
Right. When you were dealing with people's, particularly people that might have a little bit of anxiety or dysphoria, which is a form of depression, a lot of people with those traits or symptoms take what's going on into the world and it kind of takes them down because they're completely overwhelmed by it. And they care so much that they're consumed with it. And so frank and open conversations about how they consume news is important. And I'm just going to say this, the fear is real. I mean, at our university, we advise people to that are international to come back to school early. The attack on younger people, particularly vis-a-vis this immigration issue, they're very anxiety provoking and they are very real. But your point, I want to circle back to it in the last few seconds that we have, is it sounds like to me that you're keeping in communication with her, you're listening and you're affirming, you hear her, while at the same time helping her to put some balance on the situation. Kelly, B, do you all have any last words?
Kelly, this is Taj. Could I say something real? I got a question.
Please,
Oh, sure.
please
And
go
I
right
might not
ahead.
have seen you because I can't see
It's
everybody's
Taj.
hand.
We met Taj at our sunrise retreat. It was amazing. I had an incredible moment during Dr. Vicky's sound bath. So Taj, it's good to hear your voice.
Same here. This is gonna be a whole nother topic for another day, but I just wanted to put it out there is we go through this cycle of what's going on in the world as African American minority people quite often. When is it, when do we have the conversations to how do we keep break the cycles in our communities if we can't do it from a larger scale, like at the federal level? I think that's the discussion that we have because every time something happens, everybody's freaking out because I don't have, like the young lady said, let's invest, let's do this. We're having the same conversations. When do we have the conversation and start taking action within our groups that we have like this, that's doing great things, to really go out into our communities to teach and have these hard conversations of not keeping reliving these cycles that we're continuing to go through, that we are impacted by with the government, but what can we do ourselves? Because we keep coming here frustrated. We keep saying we don't have, we get paranoid when they shut down, like so now we got to go back to work. So these are things we should have been planning for from the beginning, but it's almost as we just don't believe it's going to happen to us when it always is happening to us. So what do we
Right.
do to break the cycle? That's just my question.
I think you're absolutely right. Some of these systemic things have been happening to us for hundreds of years, and that we do need plans divorced of what the federal presence can do for us. But I will say this, like I said, some of the ongoing discussions that we're hearing in our community are good. There are a lot of people that have started, and there are many advocates on this line who have taken their position and are advocating and are doing things to help and to help bring us together. And I also think that the younger people are becoming more civic minded and more community minded than we would think, given that they live in this technological age. So your point definitely is well taken. We do need to take these opportunities, like I said before, some of the difficult, painful conversations we were having during the election I think were absolutely appropriate, and I think they were well aired. And we need to continue to air what we need to do. I don't necessarily think there needs to be a one plan, but I think there can be plans that we can use that go forth that can help to unify us, solidify our economic power, and our civil rights.
Yeah. I would just close before we turn over to Dr. Vicky because I know we're out of time, but just saying for me it's the simplicity and the beauty of the Serenity Prayer, which is really about acceptance, courage, and wisdom. So really embodying that and living with that, what do we have to accept? The things that we know we can't change. We have a situation for 4 years more. We can't change that. However, we can have courage to change what we can change and to live our lives purposely and with, walking in the path that God has ordered for us, and then knowing the difference. I think that wisdom to know the difference is what's most critical. And all of the things that we learn here, and we hear from so many incredible people here, including yourself, Taj, about self-care and self-love and telling ourselves the truth, telling our families the truth. That to me is how we will get through this and how we will stand together to make change, each of us. So I want to just say that because you asked the question, Dr. Linda, and then Taj, you also asked the question to me. It's that pure and simple and difficult, but also simple.
Before we go to the prayer, Kelly, I just want to just emphasize one more time, stand firm, figure out ways to love yourself, and don't forget to find moments of joy. Don't live this next 2 years, 4 years on the edge. Find moments, celebrate your life, celebrate your families, find moments of joy.
Absolutely. That part. Love that. So thank you, Dr. Linda, and always, always welcome and having you here. So such a joy, actually. And I'd love to have Dr. Vicky close us out this morning in a prayer.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Dr. Linda, again. Thank you so much for your wisdom and insight and empowerment. That's what I felt today. Empowered. God, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we make a decision. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the Sunrise Project, this Sunday support call and community. Thank you for the vision that Kelly has and the execution that Dee has. And thank you for Dr. Linda today and every first Sunday of the month. Thank you for pouring your wisdom into her so that she could pour it into us to strengthen, empower us, to provoke us to stand. To keep standing, having done all to stand, stand, therefore, is what you say in your word, in your power, in your might, in your wisdom, in your strength. We thank you that your joy is our strength. For your word says, the joy of the Lord is the strength of his people. So we thank you for that today. We thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. Thank you for this moment to pause and breathe and inhale and exhale. Thank you for the wisdom of how to create calm in the midst of chaos. God, we lift up every family who has been impacted by the two most recent plane crashes. We lift them up today. We pray for their comfort and their strength. Help us, help us, help us to see with clarity, with wisdom, with courage, and with acceptance and surrender, the things that we can do to be empowered on a daily basis. Now, bless us as we go further into this day. Keep us until we come back together again on next Sunday. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for this safe and sacred space. Bless every caller, bless every household that is represented in this community. And again, we thank you for the wisdom to win. We thank you for the wisdom to win. And we close this call knowing and understanding with a spirit of gratitude that we do have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Have a powerful day, everyone.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at 9 a.m. Eastern. Have a great day.